From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, Taz the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. The life of the party, Mike and Pete across the way, other side at the controls. Bogish is filling in for Taz, who's off here on this Tuesday morning. He's got updates as well. As we go right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, remember radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, download Taz and the Moose each and every single day, and we appreciate all the love and support. A lot to get to in this third and final hour. We get kicked it off. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
LeBron James under fire after latest comments regarding Daryl Morey.
Yes, or Daryl Morey.
Well, that's an interesting side note, Moose, because...
Is it Morey?
This is where we are now, because Adam Silver said Morey last week when he was discussing this, and then LeBron said it last night, so... After all of the important conversations, I need to know the correct way to say...
I've been saying Daryl Morey for...
Forever.
Forever. That's the only way I've heard it pronounced is Daryl Morey.
And now all of a sudden the commissioner and the king are making him out to be an eel.
Daryl Morey. I've never heard... When LeBron pronounced it, I was like, oh, it's just a mispronunciation here all the time. Nope. Not that big of a deal.
Nope. Adam Silver did it too.
If you missed it, so, I mean, if you... I would say early evening West Coast... Right around, I would say, you know, late second quarter of the Monday Night Football game. The Nats had already taken control of game three of the NLCS. LeBron met with the media. The video came out of LeBron addressing Daryl Morey, China, Hong Kong. That scenario, if you missed it, here you go.
Sit back and learn from the situation that happened. Understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we always talk. We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl, Morey. But I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Last question, please.
Last question.
That's just my belief. I don't know. That's my belief.
I can believe anything.
That's all I can say. I believe he was... either misinformed or not really educated on the situation. And if he was, then so be it. But I have no idea, but that's just my belief. Because just when you say things or do things, if you're doing it, and you know the people that can be affected by it, and the families and the individuals and everyone that can be affected by it, sometimes things can be changed as well. And also sometimes social media is not always the proper way to go about things as well. But that's just my belief.
Well, I mean, you can believe anything. Number one, Daryl Morey went to MIT, Massachusetts, which is a pretty good school. I mean, number one, so he's not a moron. It's not like a country bumpkin walking into the town five and dime, making a bold statement that the earth is flat and walking out. I mean, this is a scenario here where, LeBron James, number one, when he says, you can't be thinking about yourself, isn't in essence what LeBron James said last night, thinking about himself? And not thinking about, is he really thinking about those over, the protesters over in Hong Kong? Is he not thinking about his brand and his finances and the money and the popularity of the association and basketball over in Asia and China specifically. I mean, he clearly is thinking about himself, and that's fine. But then you come out and you try and clarify the statement, saying, well, Daryl Morey was misinformed about sending the tweet and the timing of sending the tweet because basketball players and teams were going over to China to play preseason basketball. I mean, that's what he was misinformed about? Not the topic at hand? Which makes no sense.
And if his point is that Daryl Morey needs to be aware of what can happen in a place when he tweets about that place, then maybe NBA players shouldn't be in that place to begin with.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, if it's that quick to ignite and there'd be that much anger over something that here in this country, you know, we're allowed to do and allowed to say, then maybe that's something you should be concerned with. That maybe that's not the place to be. Or maybe you should voice your concerns about that situation to them or the people that run your enterprise that put you in that place to begin with. Because this was such a terrible statement from LeBron, who normally is emotional in a good way and leads him to a place where he's trying to be helpful and trying to get people to discuss important topics. And he just destroyed this answer last night, and I didn't see it coming.
Well, and Andrew, you can get into the context of what he said, and you can poke fun.
I don't know what the context of what he said is because he keeps going back, doubling back on and correcting himself
I'm going back on his initial statement. If I'm going to, and you can pick it apart, right? It's nonsense. I mean, what LeBron had to say last night was complete utter nonsense. And then when he tried to clarify it and said, let me clear up the confusion, he confused the situation even more, right? So if I'm trying to clear something up, the confusion, he said, she said scenario, I shouldn't walk in and then all of a sudden say something else or tweet something out that basically, what the hell are you talking about? That makes little to no sense. And then basically hop into bed and call it a Monday night. I mean, the very fact is that they had a week. LeBron and his team had a week to think about this. And he knew he was going to get asked about it. And to address the media, he would have been better served just saying no comment. He would have been better served just regurgitating this second statement from Adam Silver. He would have been better served by that. What he came out with, they actually thought this was a good message. Yes, LeBron, let's stay on point. This is the point you want to hit home. These are the things. Let's put this out there. We'll be good to go. That'll cut the story off at the knees.
I think he would have been better off, Moose, coming out trying to have a conversation about the validity of Daryl Morey's beliefs on Hong Kong and China. Like, he would have been better off coming out and saying that he agrees with China's decision to try and extradite these alleged criminals and political prisoners out of Hong Kong. Like, if you try to get into a real debate about the situation, because even then we could say he's wrong or insensitive or misguided, but like it wouldn't cut back at least in my mind, it cuts back at what the fights he's had to fight here when he's talked about Trayvon Martin and gun control and Black Lives Matter, whatever it may be. When people have told him to shut up because he's just a basketball player, he told Daryl Morey to shut up yesterday. And it can't go in both directions. He can't be defended from people who tell him to shut up while telling Daryl Morey that he should have shut up or at least kept his quiet for another week or so.
Don't disagree. Right. That's the other thing. Right. Sent the tweet out when we're back home.
Right.
When we're not over in China. And listen, I mean, I don't know how you're spiritually affected, but here's the other thing. You can't tell me that that someone is misinformed and then asked why, and you say, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't work.
Two is not four. What do you mean? It's just my belief.
This is not the first grade. I'm not talking to one of my 4-year-old son asking about why he decided to try and flush one of his toys down the toilet and says, I don't know, and runs out of the room. I mean, you know, this is a scenario here where
I'm rubber, you're glue.
If you're going to tell me someone's misinformed about something, tell me why they're misinformed.
You gotta. It's required.
And that is it, especially when you are as influential as he is. And you're exactly right, Andrew. You can't be like, I'm more than an athlete. I'm not staying in my lane. And he's done a lot of good. I'm not telling you that LeBron James hasn't, and it hasn't been all smoke. There's been a LeBron James has affected a lot of people's lives in the positive and has brought about real and tangible change in this country, whether it be the school in Akron, you know, what the stuff he's doing with the NCAA. That's what makes the comments last night so mind-bogglingly dumb, because you say to yourself, all right, if you're going to be more than just an athlete, that's fine. If you're going to use your influence, that's fine. But then you can't come out and give me that, what you said last night, because it affects your view, because there are going to be people who look at LeBron James differently for the rest of his life.
Right. And I don't think we mentioned this back in the first hour, but you know, the things that he says or has said in the past about our issues here in America, I mean, those are dangerous things to say, because it does, you know, it creates quote unquote enemies. It has people not be your fan, has people maybe not buy your jersey, not buy your sneakers. So like he's fought this fight. Like he has said things knowing that there'd be blowback, that there'd be negative reaction to this, that it could hurt the Cavaliers or the Heat or the NBA or LeBron Inc. But he still said them because he believed in them.
Correct.
And now he wants Daryl Morey to not say things that could have a negative impact.
Right.
It doesn't line up.
Come across
correctly
as a phony.
Right. And it's one thing to think that. He could have thought that in his basement. Like, he could sit in his house right now and be destroying Daryl Morey.
Absolutely.
For the last 7 days. But to bring that outside and tell us that and not do it clearly, at least, as if he's at least practiced this speech and these answers, which you'd have to think he did. You have to think that they talked about this. And then his performance, regardless of what the substance of his words, just his performance last night was terrible. Scattered, inconsistent, contradicting himself. It was just a mess.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, because, you know, I often think about, you know, when we were growing up, and for the millennials that are listening to this morning, you don't remember, right? Michael Jordan never said anything about anything.
Right. I mean, right? And specifically said Republicans buy sneakers too.
Right.
Famously said that.
Correct. So he never said anything about anything. You know, he was not taking a political stance. He was not going out there. You know, Michael Jordan thought about the almighty dollar.
Right. I mean, Derek Jeter here in New York, we know nothing about Derek Jeter after two decades of him being a star.
Derek Jeter said nothing about nothing. Yep. He would not say it. Now, LeBron James has chosen a different path, and it's been great. But if you're going to choose that path and you're going to do that, then when you are asked about everything going on and you've been educated about the NCAA, when you've been educated about, you know, Trayvon Martin, when you've been educated about all these other things, and you've had a week to think about this, when everyone clearly could see the NBA is running scared from China because of money, and LeBron James acted like he saw it firsthand experience. He's like, oh my God, look at what's transpiring here after Daryl Morey sent out a tweet about Hong Kong. Look, they're tearing down the banners off of walls. I mean, they're sandblasting the floor to get the sponsorships off the floor because they want nothing to do with us. You think LeBron James then is going to come out and support Daryl Morey? No, he's thinking about the almighty dollar, and that's fine. And LeBron's a businessman. But then he has every right to be criticized for the statement he comes out with as well.
Yep. Right. He can't be safe from one and lead the charge in the other.
No. Next.
Number two.
Packers win a controversial 23-22 game versus the Lions on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and it's controversial because of the penalties. I mean, so here you go. The Lions lose another one. If you're a Lion fan, God bless. You're leading the game in Lambeau 13-0. You have a 22-13 lead in the fourth quarter. As Bogus and I kicked off the 7 o'clock hour this morning breaking down this show, Andrew made a good point in terms of the Lions left too many points on the field. They can't settle for field goals on the road. They've got to punch those in. If they do, we're not talking about this. But
also, we didn't mention the 12-man on the field penalty that turned the Packer field goal into a touchdown.
That's true. And I love the Lion player that is counting the guys on the field. When they get called for 12 men on the field, there's actually a still shot, and you see him using his hand counting the players, and there's 12 guys on the field. That's almost comical. But, well, it is comical.
It'd be great if he got to himself and he was like, 12.
Right. No, he probably...
Crap.
Right, imagine if he counted the guys across 11. We're good to go.
Yeah.
Forgot to count himself. That'd be something I'd do. Be like, oh, we're good to go.
Who's the 12th guy?
You are, you idiot.
You.
Anyway,
I believe not.
So 22-13 lead, fourth quarter, third and 10 play. Rodgers gets sacked about the 10.5-minute mark of that fourth quarter. You get a legal hands to the face called on Trey Flowers. Drive continues, ends up being a touchdown, 22-20 lead for the Lions. Then Lions have the football, a pass from Matthew Stafford to, who was it, Kenny Golladay? Clearly interfered with, no interference called. The Lions end up punting. Packers get the ball back. They're all looking to try and attempt a game-winning field goal, run out the clock. 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, inside the Lions 20. Incomplete pass by Rodgers. Another hands-to-the-face penalty on Trey Flowers. They're able to run out the clock and kick the game-winning 23-yard field goal as time expired for Mason Crosby. And for the Lions, you know, they have nobody else to blame but themselves. They should have scored more points. They had command of this football game. The penalties, although, are going to draw a lot of highlights because those were two terrible calls on three terrible, one non-call, two terrible calls on Trey Flowers.
And it's not excuse-making to point out that they left points on the field and could have had themselves in a spot where they weren't victimized by the officials. And it doesn't take away from the officials messing things up. They can't get those calls wrong. All of those things are correct. The Lions didn't have to find themselves only up by 9 points in the fourth quarter. And if they had done a few things better earlier in the game, then a flag here or there, or not one being thrown, doesn't affect, presumably, the outcome of that game last night.
Here is Matt Patricia on those penalties. Take a listen.
Can't have those penalties, you know, whatever it was that caused those to take place. So we're going to go back, take a look at it, make sure we're coaching it better, make sure we're doing the right things, and, you know, just can't have them. We know how dangerous they are and how, you know, detrimental those penalties are.
Yeah, Trey Flowers, what says you?
I was working a move, and, they saw something different than what actually happened, and they called what they thought they saw. So, yeah.
It happens one time in a game. That's one thing. The exact same thing happens again. What was your exchange with the referee at that point?
I actually changed the position of my hand because it was to the chest initially, which is right here. I was doing it all game. I didn't know that was a flag to the chest, so I could change it to right here. And he caught it again.
Yeah, there you have it. That's Trey Flowers, who was, as Bisseglia pointed out, because this is what makes him great. Everyone was either showering or changed at that point. Flowers was still sitting in his uni.
Yeah, I got that. It was browbeaten into me as well.
Yeah.
He's still in his uniform, full pads, just sitting there, just stewing.
That's the guys I want on my team.
Next on Basketball Drugs.
Here's Matt LaFleur, who is kind of at a loss. I mean, he was as stunned as everybody else that the Packers won.
That was just a tough four-quarter battle against the North opponent that we knew they were going to be a tough challenge. And things didn't go our way, obviously, early, but I think it speaks a lot to the character that we have in that locker room for our guys sticking together. We talk about never blinking, and they fought. And I was so proud of the effort.
Yeah, he should be. And the Packers are a team that's shown you a little bit of grit. Now, they nice back-to-back wins, and last night, a little miraculous at home, and certainly they've got some things to clean up.
Number 3.
Nationals crushed the Cardinals 8-1. One win away from the World Series.
Yes, to the chagrin of every Met fan having to watch the Curly W, they're going to make it to the Fall Classic. They're winning one of the next four games.
I'll be honest, Moose. The Braves and the Phillies are much higher on my hate list than the Nationals. Yeah.
Nats don't bother you as much.
Well, two things. I mean, they're newer, and the Phillies and the Braves, that's entrenched dislike.
Okay.
And I actually, if the Nats weren't the Nats, in a vacuum, I'd like this team.
They're a good team. We talked about it. I love this team.
Right.
I'm ruining my rear end off for them.
I wouldn't go that far.
I like them. I mean, I think I liked them against the Dodgers. I liked them in this Cardinals series. I like this Nat team. I agree with you. So right now, Braves, let's go around the room. Braves, Phillies, Nats. Where you rank them as most hated for Met fans? Braves, Phillies, Nats.
Braves, that's the all-time.
Braves, then Phillies, then Nats.
The Nats. And actually, the Cardinals would probably jump ahead of the Nats, too. That's old school 80s Mets hate, where I learned to love the Mets.
All right, but if we stay within the division, Braves, Phillies, Nats.
Yeah.
All right, Pete, what do you say?
Braves, Phillies, Nats, yeah.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah, Mike? I'm on board, too.
Oh, Braves, you guys Phillies, are all in Nats. Agreement. Everyone hates Atlanta.
Hates them. Hates them. How can you not?
Late 90s, they'll get you, man.
And the problem, you know what sucks with the whole thing?
That's when I grew up liking baseball, and that's what got me.
They're all great guys. Bobby Cox, Chipper Jones, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux. Like, you wish one of them was a jerk.
John Rocker.
There's John Rocker. The but, I mean, like, really, the long-standing Braves, they're all good guys, which makes you hate them even more. I mean, Chipper Jones named his daughter Shay because he destroyed Shea Stadium.
Yeah. Pat Burrell should have named a kid after Shea as well. Pat always destroyed the Mets. Pat Burrell could be in like a 1-for-80 slump. Whenever he saw that Met uniform out at Shea Stadium, he hit bomb after bomb.
Pat Burrell in jail or anything yet? Maybe like a pyramid skinny ram or anything? No.
So the Nats are rolling right
now. Tweet something stupid
now.
About China? Anything dumb?
How about if you're the Cardinals? I mean, after their manager and Mike Shildt gave that impassioned, you know, F-bomb laden message to his team after they beat the Braves in Game 5 down in Atlanta.
Do we still not know what
they
he was talking about?
They basically stopped hitting.
Yeah.
They haven't hit anything. I mean, they didn't hit last night. They lose the game 8-1. You know, they got no hit for 7-plus innings in Game 1 against Anibal Sanchez. And then in Game 2, Max Scherzer takes a no-hitter into the 7th as well. I mean, they have not hit at all in the Nats. Everything's coming up natty.
I mean, Howie Kendrick had more RBIs last night than the Cardinals have in the series.
That's amazing. Think about that for a second. The great Howie Kendrick, who had the grand slam, game-winning 10th inning home run against the Dodgers. Game 3, ALCS gets going this afternoon. Yankees and Astros. Cole on the mound. Severino on the mound for the Yankees. Cole for the Stros. I think the Astros win this afternoon. I don't think Cole's going to get
one can only
stopped.
Hope.
What do you think, Bogus? You think Stros or Yankees?
I told you this in the break. As the Yankee hater, petty Yankee hater that I am, I'm completely prepared for Gerrit Cole to get rampaged today in the Bronx, because at some point someone's got to hit him, you'd think. So of course the universe would allow it to be the Yankees today. Now that being said, this has been a season unlike any others when it comes to the universe trying to keep the Yankees down, Moose. Injury after injury after injury, guys getting hurt yes. while they're rehabbing an initial injury. The universe has done everything to make the Yankees not succeed this year. Yet they keep succeeding. Although there have been signs to the other direction, I would have bet you money that after Gary Sanchez swung and missed and didn't foul tip that ball,
that
he's going to get a hit. And they would have won him up 2-0. But somehow he struck out.
Well,
and then the
Sanchez
very next pitch, a home run.
Yes.
Game over. So
game
maybe over. We're going in the right direction here. But we'll see after Gerrit Cole today.
I like Cole today. I'm a Yankee fan. I think the Stros won.
Now,
they take it 2-1 series.
Can I ask Moose a question? I don't have a rundown in front of me. I'm going to ignore it like Taz normally would. I don't want to kill any timing issue here, but what if
Pete's angry? We got to go.
Of course, if there is no game 4 tomorrow because of the rain,
yeah,
is that good news or bad news for your Yankees?
I think it would be bad news for the Yankees because of how they use the bullpen.
Could you take the day off away?
Take the day off away on Friday. So then you would have games then on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That Friday game would probably, we were talking about before the show, that might be a 4, 5, or 6 o'clock start to give you travel time to then play the game on Saturday night, Sunday night. I think it would hurt the Yankees because of the use of the bullpen and not having a day off in between Game 5 and Game 6 if we get there.
Unless my math is off, no matter what, they're going to need to do a bullpen
they
game.
Are.
Would you do it right away on Thursday to get it out of the way, or would you start again with Tanaka on regular rest and the new Game 4 on Thursday?
I would go with a bullpen game in Game 4.
So you close with Tanaka, Paxton, Severino
Correct.
If necessary.
That's what I would do.
I think that's how I'd do it too, but if you're down 2-1...
Then it could change that.
I think you have to start Tanaka.
Then, if you're down 2-1, then that could conceivably change it. You're right about that, to where then you roll back Tanaka in Game 4. But then the scenario is then you've got to bullpen the game in Game 5.
Well, and like then we're back
because
to...
Because you're not going
to
bullpen a game down in Houston.
That's the thing. I think you want to give yourself time to recover from a bullpen game if you know, in case you lose it. And you don't want to do that in Houston. So I think the bullpen game's got to be Game 4 or Game 5.
Agreed. We're in agreement. We'll see what happens this afternoon, a little afternoon baseball. It's Taz and the Moose. So there you have it. Your three big storylines here on this Tuesday morning. We'll come back. Number to call, 855-212-4227. Undercard coming your way later on this hour. It's Taz, Moose, Bogus in the house, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes. Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau Field with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between the Houston and Indianapolis. It all begins with JB and the guys getting ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. The other thing you take away with baseball is not breaking down the games is this, is as Rob Manfred basically all year long was like, what? Hear no evil, see no, you know, whether it be the pill is a little off center, you know, they broke down the baseball and said we're still using the same materials. Remember, they had the less drag on the baseball. It's right. Oscillating more in the air. That's why it's carrying. I'll tell you this, though, Bogus. They figure out a way to deaden that baseball here in October because the way the ball was flying out in the regular season, there have been some balls that have been hit in these series so far, divisional and championship series, that would have been like 8 and 10 rows deep in the regular season, and they're dying on the warning track, if not before that. So they figured out right quick to figure out that baseball here in October.
They might have originated the LeBron defense that we saw last night. I think at one point they said the ball is not traveling farther.
Right.
How can you, how do you believe that? It's just my belief.
Right.
But here's numbers that say, nope, it is my belief that the ball is not going farther than it normally is. Here's your pseudo-conspiracy theory from the caller earlier on about the league kind of dictating how games play. Now, this is not a top-down instruction to an official or an umpire to change the trajectory of a game, but here is absolutely, once again, Major League Baseball
Affecting the game.
And I mean, and while I would prefer the game to be played the way it's currently being played, it's nonsense that they changed it mid-season. After everyone got here because they hit a you-know-what ton of home runs, now you can't get one over the fence. And
well, how do you?
They're
do
not
that?
Even admitting it. I don't know. Science.
And listen, for those that happen to partake in gambling, where
it's
you're
math moose.
Well, you're betting overs and overs and overs in Major League Baseball,
right.
And then all of a sudden, what you've watched all season long, they've changed the baseball to now. And I get the pitching is a lot better. But, I mean, to where now you change the baseball, and guys have admitted the baseball's got a little bit of a different feel to it. So, now you've changed the baseball here in the postseason where you're not getting the prodigious amount of home runs that you did in the regular season, which is absolutely – so I guess their scientists and all the polls and everything, I guess they finally figured out what was wrong with the baseball.
Yeah. Eureka! Some nerdy dude comes running out of an office on Park Avenue. Figured it out.
I found
Reset
it.
Reset the baseball.
I found it.
Perfect timing.
Give us the new batch for October. We're going to set the world on fire. You think those... Now basically you'd have to hit the ball like your Babe Ruth to drive it over the fence.
I mean, imagine how far Judge's home run in game two would have went with the old ball. I mean,
oh,
that was smoked to right center field. That would have went 700 feet.
I know. You're right about that. You're absolutely right. So the ball clearly has been changed here for Major League Baseball in October, and that's fine. I mean, everyone's
right.
Playing with the same baseball, but I do like this game more than what we saw in the regular season where you're having games in which there were like four or five home runs hit each and every game. I don't need to see them. I like the home run, but I also don't want to minimize its impact because everybody and their mother, when guys are going from basically hitting three home runs for their career to hitting 24 home runs in a given year, and we're talking about launch angle and everything like
right.
that, I mean, there does come a point in time where you're saying to yourself, you know, when Todd Frazier is hitting a one-handed home run 12 rows deep at Citi Field, and then quoting Eric Davis saying it's an old scoop shot. I mean, that is where you say to yourself, something was wrong with the baseball.
Well, man, here in New York, this season began with super scientific deep dives into why no one could hit home runs at Citi Field. The Mets have, as I'm sure everyone has noticed, they moved the fences in. We had people testing like wind variations, the airports nearby. Is there some kind of weird wormhole in Queens? Like, that's why can't anyone hit home runs? And now this year, everyone was hitting home runs and not just scraping the back of the wall. I mean, guys were crushing home runs in that ballpark this year.
Agreed.
But it wasn't the ball.
No, it was not.
How do you know? Just my belief. Oh, okay.
I just know. Well, how do you know? I don't know why I know. I just believe it.
I believe, sir, you are misinformed.
I'm going to tell my wife that next time we get into a fight. I'll be like, she'll be like, why do you do that? I don't know. I just believe it. Well, why do you believe it? I don't know. And then walk away.
Stop with your valid questions.
That won't go over well.
No.
Yeah, enjoy the couch.
Yes. Couch? What do you mean? I'll be sleeping in the car. Hopefully a bear doesn't roll by.
You got to move. Regardless of the current state of your house, Moose, you just need to get closer to the many places that you work. And I feel like society, like civilization.
No, I agree with you. I live in a very wooded area. The other day, I'm walking out to the car at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Sasquatch.
No, I clearly hear an animal walking in the leaves. And it's not a small animal. Like, it's not a squirrel or a chipmunk that's, like,
it
rustling.
It was Taz.
Like, I could see. I couldn't see anything. I didn't turn around and start to inspect or put my iPhone, like, light on to see what it was. But I could clearly hear some sort of animal striding in the woods.
Chupacabra.
And I hustled to my car right quick.
Do you have some kind of whistle?
No, there's no spray
on your nothing.
What do you mean? If I ever blew a whistle, wake up the entire house, my wife would kill me.
Brass knuckles.
I'd rather face the wild animal than my wife at that stage.
That'd be great.
If I ever woke up my kids at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd have a better chance against a brown bear than I would against my wife at 4:20
in the morning. So not worth doing a 1v1.
I can hear your wife right now. The morning after you've been mangled by a bear, she's doing the local TV news interview. did Mark not call for help? Oh, he knows better.
He knows better.
We were sleeping.
Right.
He knew that we couldn't be woken up. I'm glad he kept his quiet.
Right, exactly right. My
son's a family
in
man.
Deep REM sleep. Right.
Like, woman, I've got three five-year-olds.
Exactly.
We sleep. Even if it means daddy's in a wheelchair. Hey,
two words, insurance policy. What's going on, Bogus?
Oh, it's update time.
Yes.
I completely lost track of time. The NLCS is now 3 games old. The Cardinals have 0 wins, 2 runs, 11 hits. At the very least, manager Mike Shield hoping for a good start in game 4 tonight.
We got to play with the lead. We got to get the lead at some point in the series. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to win a game if you can't get a lead. So we got to figure out a way to create some offense early in the game and be able to hold it there.
Last night, at least, the Cards weren't no hit for the most of the night. They just didn't score until the 7th inning. By that time, though, it was 8-0 Nationals. They won 8-1. Now go for the sweep at their place tonight. Patrick Corbin and Dakota Hudson on the mound at 8 Eastern. First up today is Game 3 for the Yankees and Astros. They split in Houston. Luis Severino and Gerrit Cole on the mound with first pitch at 4:08 Eastern. Aided by 2 more controversial calls, Aaron Rodgers led 2 fourth-quarter scoring drives to get his Packers past the Lions 23-22 at Lambeau on Monday Night Football. New head coach Matt LaFleur could get used to this.
You never want to take that for granted, but it's pretty remarkable what he's able to do out on that field and really give the guys confidence that we're going to get the job done.
Rodgers' touchdown pass to Alan Lazard and Mason Crosby's game-ending 23-yard field goal came after Detroit's Trey Flowers was called for illegal hands to the face twice, which he didn't seem to be doing either time. It didn't help that the Lions kicked 5 field goals last night instead of scoring touchdowns. They had won their last 4 meetings with the Packers, including 31-0 in their last trip to Green Bay. College football, Oregon tight end Jacob Breland done for the year with a left leg injury. Breland leads the 12th-ranked Ducks in catches, yards, and receiving touchdowns. And the Colorado Avalanche stayed perfect yesterday, 5-0, a 6-3 win in Washington. Moose?
All right, thank you, Andrew. We'll come back. We got the undercard stories we have missed during the Taze show. You'll get the voice of Mike Biseglia. Now, we have to work on Bawami is going to make a CBS Sports Minute appearance on Friday. We'll have more details as the week unveils. But last week, we talked about Bawami. Biseglia said, that'll never happen. I'll lose my job. Next thing we know, our PD is walking in saying, that's a great idea. Biseglia is like, are you serious? Bellotti was like, Bawami, stoke the fires. Here we go. It's Taz of the Moose on a Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, that's right. Jackson bringing us out of break. It is Taz and the Moose. Bogish is in the house. Taz is off here on this Tuesday morning. He'll be back with us on Friday, so Andrew will be filling in today, tomorrow, and Thursday morning. 855-212-4227. We thank all the calls earlier on the program. I was just asking Bogus during the course of the break, do you think LeBron, who had the comments yesterday, then went on Twitter last night, an hour after making that initial statement to try and clear some things up, and it even led to more confusion, then basically told someone, I probably told LeBron, put the phone down, get off social media, head in the sand, let's call it a day.
Let's prep for Taco Tuesday.
Correct, yes, Taco Tuesday. Do you think LeBron addresses it again today?
I do not, and I don't even know if they're supposed to be in the building today, the Lakers practice or whatever, but no, I think this is now radio silence for LeBron. In fact, I don't know that he ever talks about this again. He may have to say something to try and just move forward and get away from it, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
I don't know what their schedule is today.
Because he can't fix it. You know what I mean? He can't re-clarify it.
Well, right, he can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So it's out. He made his initial statement. There's no way, the fact of not understanding what misinformed is with Daryl Morey, who went to MIT, and talking about, and then saying he knows nothing about the situation between Hong Kong and China. So he can't rectify it. I think you're probably right. I think if he gets asked about it again, I think he probably tries to cut it off and basically said, I've already addressed it, we're moving on.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing he could do, and I don't know that how many people would actually buy it if he did it, was to go on a full, apology tour where he's like, listen, listening back to what I said wasn't what I wanted to say, and I completely understand where I went wrong in critiquing Daryl Morey in any way. I mean, he could try and just fall on his sword for this, but even that, I don't know that it matters because the people who don't want to like him, it doesn't matter. They're not going to accept his apology.
Well, because don't you think people then would rightfully look at him and say he's apologizing because he's being painted in a bad light in the media, and rightfully so, for how he handled it last night?
And the people that, the people who are already on his side or who are usually on his side will move on from this. The people who are just by default going to push back against anything he says are not going to accept his apology. So even that, I don't think, would have any kind of real benefit to him.
But Andrew, don't you think even the most, and listen, I love LeBron. I do. I'm not saying that I'm not one of these sycophants that are defending everything that he does and that he does no wrong. But, LeBron's a great player. Now, he's brought about and done a lot of stuff with his influence and his money, and it has affected people's lives in the positive. How do you even if you're the most ardent supporter and defender of LeBron, how do you defend him on that? What's the stance? How exactly do you come out and say, how do you defend what he said last night?
Well, the stance in the handful of posts and tweets that I've seen since last night, the more common stance is doing damage control for LeBron by saying that what he said last night doesn't take away from what he has said about other important things in the past or things he might discuss in the future, that he's not compromised by what he said last night. And then pointing out, too, that people who are crushing LeBron today are just LeBron haters who are going to crush him no matter what, which is not
true.
It's not true. And I don't think the first one is true either. I don't think you can disconnect what he said last night from the overall LeBron. His points are still valid on other topics.
Yes, I agree with that.
So he doesn't become a liar.
No.
Or those are not now to be disregarded. But we got a glimpse of also where LeBron can defer to at times, like most other people.
Money,
right. Yeah. We saw that. We saw him being, selfish, greedy, looking out for himself in this situation.
No doubt about it. All right, here we go. Let's get to it, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, the voice of Mike Bisaglia, go.
All right, Moose, last week you had mentioned that you have CBS Sports Minutes coming up and a fill-in role duty, and that'll happen on Friday as well.
Right, one minute.
I made the joke that Bawami should help out because he's been on fire with his picks. You suggested, hey, why not? And it looks like that might happen.
That is going to happen. Bawami will make a special guest appearance during my one CBS Sports Minute. I have the 150. Is that a Feinstein special?
I don't know.
That's late in the day. When does Jim Rome take over?
I'm not sure. Anyway, someone's off this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Bawami will come together creatively, and we will come up with a CBS Sports Minute. So Bawami, as you've heard from Coast to Coast, Sirius at XM 206 on Football Fridays, and also during the NCAA tournament or when picks are made, whenever we need Bawami to make a selection, he's there. This Friday, he's going to make a pick as well. I shouldn't say a pick. We're not going to pigeonhole him. Our creative team, I got to get together with Bawami. We have a conference call Thursday and to see exactly how we want to bring him aboard.
Yeah, and many people are going to be on that conference call. Many of his representatives, I heard.
His writing team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Writing team.
So confused by all of this.
Dialogue team.
Dialogue.
He has a whole bunch of teams. His football team.
His teams have teams.
Operational teams. So he has the teams ready to go to talk to Moose on Thursday for this grand appearance on Friday.
Yes.
And he's really taking this very, very seriously.
I can't wait. I mean, and Bisaglia's got his finger on the pulse because I think the quote last Friday was, if that happened, that'll be my last day here. Unbeknownst to him, the great David Marinick was listening at the time, walked in before we, as we were wrapping up the show, said, that's a hell of an idea. And Bisaglia's like, what?
Have a good rest of the shows.
Wait, so Bawami's going to do a Sports Minute? Will there be a Sports Minute on Thursday or earlier Friday introducing America to Bawami?
No, that's where the creative team has got to come together. It's 1 minute. It's an introduction and an unveiling of Bawami on the CBS Sports Minute platform. He's taking over.
I mean, it's my belief that the Sports Minutes are the prized possession of CBS Sports Radio /Entercom. You can mess up a lot of things here and survive. If you mess up a Sports Minute, you're done. We're letting Bawami do one of these?
Well, no, he's not gonna, not in total.
You're going to let Bawami be heard on a Sports Minute? Does America know about this?
Yes, America does know about this. We discussed it. If you had to put a Mount Rushmore.
I want no part of this.
A Mount Rushmore of CBS Sports Radio. You'd start with Rome.
Yeah.
Right behind Rome would be Bawami.
And then Rome again.
Right. And then Rome. And then Rome's kids.
No, not yet.
Does he have kids?
He does.
Oh, he does.
At least one who's at Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
That comes up often during the show.
Great school.
Yes.
And then Brandon Christel.
But just for the
nobody gets
for those of you don't remember.
That's a great line.
Brandon worked here for like our first 7 days.
The great
and then
Christel.
Left. Oh, 2013.
He still does Denver.
Yeah, he's still in Denver. I remember I met Brandon Christel at NFL, Sirius XM NFL Radio when I was doing it. Remember when Brandon Christel was there?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, right. So I met him for the first time there, and then he was no longer working there. And then when they launched CBS Sports Radio, I remember talking to Spitz. And he's like, oh, we just hired a great producer, Brandon Christel. And I go, oh, Christel? He goes, why do you call him that? I go, it's just a joke. He's a good guy. I like Brandon.
Which one?
He's a good guy. Christel.
But just for the record, I've got no part in this. When Bawami has the backlash of America,
what do you think we're all
going to
get fired? We already got the okay from the PD.
Mm.
He gave us the A-okay.
All bets are off then. After that,
well, listen, we'll do it.
The dreaded vote of confidence from the owner.
I mean, Mike, didn't we not get the okay from?
We definitely got the go for it. Yes, official.
I mean, maybe he wants out. Here's his way.
We're in the clear.
Wasn't my idea.
Wasn't money. Mine.
Right.
Money. I'm against this.
Right. Malusis, we're going to have to let you go for the CBS Sports Minute that you brought. Who the hell is Bawami? Mike, Pete, great job across the way. Andrew, had a blast today, man.
See you tomorrow, Malusis.
See you tomorrow, brother. Thanks to everybody for tuning in, to Jim Leland for joining us earlier on in the program. as well. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.